You have your Bibles tonight. If you turn over, please, to the book, the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. God's word open before us. Let's come to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for every aspect of this meeting thus far. Thank you, Lord, for the singing of these wonderful hymns. And Lord, even within them, Lord, there is the message of the gospel. And Lord, we thank thee for the worship of thy people. We thank thee, Lord, for the offerings and the tithes tonight. We pray, Lord, that they might be used to the furtherance of your kingdom. And Lord, as we come now to the reading of your word and the preaching of thy word, we pray, Lord, you'd undertake, oh God, that we, each one of us, might know the filling of your spirit tonight. Speak to us, we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. We're taking our reading tonight from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we're going to read from the verse 10. John 3, verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, they that are wrought in God. God bless the reading, even of his word, this evening. I am sure that over this past few days, it has not gone unnoticed that this has been what some people might class as the month of love. Advertisements all about Valentine's Day. Again, it's been pushed again by the retail market, is continually bombarding us in the media, in the shops. And again, it's just another period where it is brought into the retail world. Some stats I was looking up yesterday said that there was approximately 150 million Valentine's cards being exchanged annually, that making Valentine's Day one of the second most popular card-sending holidays after Christmas. According to what I read, anyhow, it said that Valentine's Day had its origins in paganism. And although it was even outlawed in the 5th century, it was again Christianized by the Catholic Church. And now I believe it's been taken over, as I said earlier, by the retail world. In saying this, I don't believe there's much wrong in giving a gift or a token of your love for another person. But again, this shouldn't just be once a year for you men, especially. It's something you should do continually. Again, even some people in the service tonight might be going into that place of marriage. You need to keep giving those small gifts to keep that woman in your life happy and to keep her showing that you love her. It is a sad fact, though, in many homes, many relationships, many homes are without love or romance in that sense. Some children grow up in homes where there is no love at all. There's only hate and violence. I suppose for us who are Christians tonight, it comes upon us that we should be an example to those round about. So it is important that each one of us as couples give time to each other. It is time for each of us to give that small gift every now and then. As someone one time said, you need to keep the home fires burning. And you need to put some more logs in the fire if you want to keep that love at home. My subject tonight is on the subject of love. Mind you, some people who know me might say, what do I know on that subject? Some people might say, even I'm the person who bought his wife a leaf blower for her birthday, or bought her a strimmer for Christmas one year. But that's only maybe half the story, but we'll not tell you all the rest tonight. Love in itself, to many people, is just an emotion. But yet it is also a choice. See, so often in the Western world, and this is what a Muslim friend of mine told me, he says, you people in the Western world, he says, it's all about emotion, about love and about marriage, it's all about emotion. He says, over where I come from, he says, we're given a woman, he says, and we choose to love her. We choose to love her. And so many times, we need to also, in certain times, we need to choose to love people. We read this morning, even from 1 Corinthians 13, and I talked there about charity, and that word for charity is love or affection. The same idea, and again, the word charity, it says it suffereth long. Suffereth long. It says that it is kind. It envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. My people today run to counselors for every type of problem they have, marriage counseling and all these things. But if people would only get to the scriptures, hold to some of the simple teachings of scripture, wouldn't we all have a far better home life? My text, if I had a text for tonight, would really be in John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here is true love displayed in the giving of his Son. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. Yes, people in the past few days have given chocolates. They've given flowers. They've given all of these things. Yet Christ was given to each one of us. As I thought of that word love, a couple of weeks back, I was out walking, running, whatever you want to call it. And I started to think of what love was. I started to think of the letters, L-O-V-E. And I started to think of what I could put around that word for tonight. L stands for a long-suffering sovereign. Long-suffering sovereign. Secondly, O stands for an offering for sin. V stands for a voluntary sacrifice. And E for an embracing Savior. That is love broken down. As we think tonight of a long-suffering sovereign, I bring you to a verse in Psalm 86 and verse 15. And it says there, but thou, O Lord, art a God of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. From the very beginning of time, God has been a long-suffering sovereign. From the very beginning where Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, where they committed sin, they'd given them everything that was perfection. The world was perfect. But they sinned. And in that moment, it could have been that God would have destroyed them and wiped them out. But God was a long-suffering sovereign. And it says in Genesis 3 and 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. He covered them over. He covered the sin over. Turn with me also into Genesis chapter 6, please. Here we're brought to the story of Noah. Genesis 6 and the verse 5. And it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I want you to see here all the evil, all the vileness, all the sin that's been building up over the years. God was a long-suffering sovereign. God was a long-suffering sovereign. And here he is coming to the end as such, and judgment is coming. And yet again, Noah builds that ark, and for all those years that he built the ark, people knew there was a judgment coming, because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But the people rejected him. The people rejected Noah, and the people rejected his God. And one day there was a judgment. One day the door was closed and man was left outside that place, outside the ark, without any hope of salvation. A long-suffering sovereign. We can also see the story of Adam and of Abraham and Lot, and how they talked there about going down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And how God says it there in Genesis 18 and 2, again, similar to what we've seen about Noah. Genesis 18 and 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw him, he ran to meet them from the tent and bowed himself toward the ground. Here Abraham is finding the Lord here. But then it goes over. We see here that the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah had come up before God. And he is going to destroy it. He's going to destroy this place. But before he does that, he's going down in to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going down in to get Lot and his family out. There is a coming judgment. But we have a long-suffering sovereign. A long-suffering sovereign. We notice in Jonah going into the city of Nineveh, he was told to go to Nineveh. Again, it says there in Jonah 1 and 2, it talks there about the evil coming up before God. How the sinful city. Sinful city. And God's going to bring a judgment upon it. But yet those men repented. Those men turned to God because he was a long-suffering sovereign. In 2 Peter 3 and 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is a long-suffering sovereign. And tonight you may be in this meeting. Tonight you may not know Christ tonight. But God has been long-suffering in this place. God has not closed the doors yet. And you're here to hear the message of the gospel again. But as I made a comment earlier, there is a coming judgment. See, in Matthew 13 and 30 it says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. There is coming a day of judgment. You see, so as there was a judgment in the day of Noah, there is coming a judgment in our day where this world will be judged, where they will be taken and separated. There is a time of separation coming. Oh, we have a long-suffering Savior. Remember that verse in Scripture where Christ stood over and he looked over Jerusalem and he cried out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Tonight, is the Lord crying out over Enniskillen? O Enniskillen, O Enniskillen, how often would I have gathered you, but you would not. But you would not. He's a long-suffering sovereign. Secondly, I want you to notice O, which is an offering for sin. Our text tonight makes it very plain, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The offering for sin was his Son. From the very beginning of time, every offering was pointing to that final offering, that offering where Christ was in Calvary, that place where he would shed his blood. That final offering that would fully pay the price of sin. See, it was God who killed the first animal. It was God who provided the first coats for Adam and Eve. The blood had to be shed. Atonement had to be made. The word atonement has the idea of covering. Atonement had to be made for the sin of Adam and Eve. And so it is, atonement needs to be made for our sin. It is the Old Testament priest who once a year took the shed blood. He took it into the very holiest of holies. And that blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat. That was the lid as such that was over the ark. Below it was the commandments that were written on the tables of stone. Those were the commandments that left us under condemnation. See, if we were left only to the law tonight, then we are condemned tonight. But because of the blood, we can know the mercy of God tonight. As we think of the blood and as we think of the Lamb, we are taken even into the book of Exodus. And there it talks there about the Lamb that needed to be shed as the children of Israel were going to escape out of the land of Egypt. It says here in Exodus 12, it says they were to take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. I am quite sure if we were in that house that night, if you were the firstborn of that house, what would the thoughts been in your mind? I'm quite sure that as you'd seen that lamb killed, that lamb was such sacrificed, the blood was shed, and you'd seen the hyssop been taken out to the doorposts, you'd want to see the blood on the doorposts of there and on the lintel. Oh, that you might know that you were safe, that you might know that you were covered by the blood that night. As a death angel would come over, then you'd be safe and you would be secure. Oh, tonight, those who are saved in this meeting, they know that covering, they know that atonement. They know that they are safe and secure when the Lord comes back again. See, in that old picture of the ark, that pitch that was around the ark, that was there, that word for pitch is a word for atonement, but it's got a deeper meaning. It's a meaning of a barrier against the judgment of God. And so it is, as we have the blood applied to our lives tonight, then we know it's a barrier against the judgment of God. We're safe and we are sure. John cried out to the people round about him. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And again, later on in that chapter, he again said in John 1, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb that we come to this night, the offering that we're talking about, the offering for sin, is Christ. See, there is no way that we can come, the Scripture says, with corruptible things, as silver and gold. We can't come with those things. We cannot come with our salvation. We cannot buy our way to salvation. But we can only come to God tonight through the precious blood. It is that blood that gives us redemption, that redeems us, that sets us free, that buys us back. It is that Christ, that Lamb without blemish and without spot. Or maybe tonight you're in this meeting, you're unsaved tonight. You might ask that question, why do I need that offering for sin? Well, the Bible says very clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tonight you stand condemned. And one day you will stand before God, a holy God, and you will stand condemned before Him. You cannot pay the price of sin yourself. As we mentioned, Adam and Eve, they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves, but they were no use. They were man-made. There is nothing which you can do for your own salvation. There is nothing which you can do that can give you one thing that would take you closer to heaven. Everything you do will fail. You must come and accept the offering. The offering for sin that was made back at Calvary. You must come and put your trust in Christ. He is the one who died for you. He is the one who died for sinful man. Christ died for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thirdly, I want to look at the voluntary sacrifice tonight. I'm sure whenever we think of sacrifice and voluntary sacrifice, we can think of many stories that we've heard of human beings and the great feats that they have done. Right throughout history, people have personally sacrificed their own life. One article I read was a story of a man who threw himself over his wife to save her from the tornado that was coming. I heard of other people who have thrown themselves on a grenade so that he might save his other comrades in battle. Coming from Bush Mills, there's a man buried just outside the town, a man called Quigg, and he got the VC in the World War. He was a man who personally put his life out there to go and look for his master, for his lieutenant or whatever his name, whatever position he was in the army. But he went out something like 6 times into no man's land, and every time he went out to look for his master, he brought back someone else who had been injured. He was a man who was willing to lay down his life. He was fortunate. He survived the war. Yeah, I think he's one of the only few that had survived and was awarded the VC Cross. One other example is a man who, it says, the headline says, he sacrificed his own life. Dads dies saving 3 children. People are willing to die and give a personal sacrifice. It says over in John 15 in the verse 13, it's a well-known verse, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But yet one of the greatest examples that we can find in Scripture is the story of Abraham and of Isaac. It says there in Genesis 22 in the verse 6 to 9, it talks there about Abraham taking the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and he went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. Laid him on the altar upon the wood. That's a marvelous story. And we think of a father giving up of his son, willing to sacrifice him. But I think there's a greater story even below that as well. If you think of Isaac, he was the one who carried the wood. Might be the picture of Christ here carrying the wood, carrying the cross to his place of sacrifice. I also believe that he was a young man. Wasn't just a young boy, but he was a young man as such here. And he would have had the ability to escape, but he didn't. He was willing, he was voluntary, leaving down his life. Now we come then to Genesis 22 and 16. God speaking, by himself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine own son, thine only son. He was willing to leave down his life. Abraham was willing to give up his son, the one he had waited for, the son of promise. As we think in parallel tonight of that text that we had at the start, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Turn over, please, to John chapter 17. We think of Christ, we think of his sacrifice, we think of his voluntary laying down his life. We see here in chapter 17, verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Everything else, Lord, I have to God, he's saying, I have done, I have completed. All the ministry as such is done. And then a couple of chapters on in John 19 and 30. In that place of the crucifixion, Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Christ came with one thing in mind. He was always on his way to Calvary. He was always on his way to that place of sacrifice. He was always on his way. He knew that's where he was going. And so it is as we read in Luke 23, And it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. During those hours of darkness, his Father come with that rod of judgment. He brought it down upon his Son for the sins of men and women, for our sins tonight, for your sins tonight. He brought the rod of judgment upon his Son. It was there that Christ died. It was there that Christ died, a voluntary sacrifice for our sin. Are you thankful tonight? Do you praise him for what he's done for us? For those tonight who know not Christ, then I would ask you, I would plead with you to come to him tonight. Fourthly, tonight I bring you to E, an embracing Savior. For an embracing Savior, I would take you to that story of the prodigal son. It's a story much loved by children. But just for a few moments, I want you to take you there. 2,000 odd years ago, take you to that dusty town, to take you to that dusty road, to that place where the father and the sons are sitting talking, how he's asking him for his inheritance. He said, Father, give me my inheritance. How did the father feel? Heartbroken to see his son leave the house? What emotions would they have felt? The love of a father for his son, and yet his son had rejected him as such. What type of a young man was he? A selfish young man. A man who wandered away from the restraints of home. A man who wanted his inheritance to go and live life in all its fullness, he might have thought. He wanted freedom. I mean, how did he leave? Can you see him getting all the money? Can you see him getting all the treasure? Can you see him getting everything that he was due? All the dreams he had for the future. How he would have went out full. All the clothes with him that he could carry. All the money stuffed in his pockets that he could carry. He had everything. He had the world at his feet. He was wearing the best clothes. He was wearing the best shoes, the best sandals on his feet. He was wearing the best jewelry, the best rings that his father could give him. He left a young man who was well fed. He had everything that this world could give him. But my, what happened after he went away? Oh, how he squandered that money. How he squandered everything that his father had given to him. You know, in the portion of Scripture, we find there even how the son made comment of him, the other son, of how he had squandered his living with harlots. He had wasted his money. Oh, the father knew what he was doing. The father's heart, I'm sure, many times was broken as the news would come back of how his son was living. I'm sure he was a young man with plenty of friends to share the money with, to share in the parties that they might give. But how his life changed. How the good life didn't last, and how he got himself where he had to feed the very pigs, the swine of the day, the something for the Jew which would have been terrible. But you know what? The father was watching day after day. Oh, even though he knew what he'd done, even though he had broken his heart, he was still watching for him. And my one day, as he went out and he looked into the distance, he could see his son coming back. What type of a man would he have been then? He came back in his rags. He came back, his shoes were worn out. He come back with empty pockets. He come back with nothing. He come back smelling of the pigs that was upon him. He was, in many ways, a picture of the Gentile people. And so it is that each one of us come from the pig pen of sin. But our God is a God of compassion. As we read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, talking about the Father, and it says, he arose and came to his father. And he arose and came to his father. That's a young man. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What love, what compassion of a father. I was discussing this verse recently with my uncle. He was telling me of a preacher who mentioned the fact that whenever his father ran to him and hugged him, you see, he reckoned that the young man was in danger of his life because of how the young man had treated his father. The local people would have been within their rights to have stoned him. But the father ran to him. He hugged him. He threw himself upon him. He kissed him there. Our God is a God of compassion. Throughout the New Testament, it continually mentions he was moved with compassion. It says in Matthew 9 and 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Again, Christ, many times healing the sick, he had compassion. So he touched their eyes and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Oh, the true compassion can be seen in our text tonight. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." El, a long-suffering sovereign. O, an offering for sin. V, a voluntary sacrifice. E, an embracing Savior. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Will you tonight accept the offer of salvation, or will you reject it? Don't leave tonight. Don't leave it until the door is closed. Don't leave it and come knocking. Whenever that door of the ark was closed, or that door that was closed for the five foolish virgins, the knocking will be no use. You will not be allowed in. There is nothing that you can do. There is only one offering for sin. Christ sacrificed his life in Calvary for sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Be like the prodigal. Come home to the Father tonight. He is wanting you to come home. He is watching for you to come home. He is waiting for you tonight to come home. Come home with nothing. Come home only with the rags that you've got, because you've got nothing else. As it says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll close our meeting this evening.